Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Welcome to the very first Thought Police of the new year. It's 2022 and we're still pissed off. Kevin O'Sullivan's here. Happy New Year to you, mate.
Happy New Year, too, mate.
As you well know, I did offer you and wish you a Happy New Year on the very night of New Year, although I'm not entirely sure I remember exactly what was going on after midnight.
Yeah,
we seem to be watching Jules Holland and the Hooter, was it Hooter Nanny they call
yeah,
it?
Yeah, well, that bloke,
Ragged Bone Man.
Ragged Bone took exception to his song and his clothes.
You seem to really dislike him all of a sudden.
Well, I tell you what, he was singing, I can't even remember the song.
He was singing some Motown song,
but yeah, it was a terrible version. Yeah. I thought, well, don't fucking murder this song,
right?
You fat git, you know, in your shit clothes.
He did have some weird clothes on.
Oh, yeah, he was dressed in a fucking sack.
Right.
What's the matter with him?
But we did very well with that other sort of Christmas New Year message, whatever it was. We decided, Kevin invited me basically to his house very kindly. And we'd done it a couple of years before. And the previous year, I think, because of COVID, we hadn't done anything.
No one was allowed there.
So I was very happy to go to his very very nice middle-class house in a very nice middle-class part of London.
Of course.
And have some very nice champagne. And I actually took some Pisco. We had those nice Pisco
Christ,
sours.
That got us going. That's
which is why we got so pissed.
Pisco'd.
Like Peruvian Pisco'd we got. And,
what is it, by the way,
Pisco? It's basically Peruvian brandy,
okay.
Right? And normally it's
and you made
to put,
a really great drink yeah. with lemon. It was really
well. I made
great.
It with lime and sugar syrup and pisco. You're supposed to put a white of an egg in it. But yeah, actually, but, yeah. I wouldn't want to do
but
that.
But it was great. But I think we had
they
three.
They taste
of them.
A bit like margaritas, yeah, don't they?
Delicious. Three and, of them each.
Yeah. Right? And your missus gave us the old cocktail shakers. They're really nice. And we did in most of the bottle actually. Because the thing is, the reason
that
I brought it
explains a lot.
Well, the reason I brought it is that. You know, it's one of those things that I got from Helena Nicklin when we did the Thursday
club. Yeah.
And it's one of those things, you're never going to drink it unless in that kind of situation where you're going to a sort of a mini dinner party or something like that. So that sort of set us all off. Anyway, it was a lovely, you made a lovely meal and we did very well. But suddenly we decided it would be a good idea to make a couple of videos. And actually, the first one has done about 127,000.
It was inspired by the fact that you noticed on the wires, always checking your phone,
oh, yeah.
that Witty, Van Tam, Harris and Blair,
and Blair
had all got
and
knighthoods.
All got knighthoods.
And we were driven into an immediate drunken fury.
Well, it is ridiculous, though, isn't it? I mean, how the hell do you justify any of those?
I'll tell you, it's a fucking disgrace.
It is.
You know, you want to know the problem with Britain? You know, it's people say, oh, well, are the Tories going to be in power? Will Labour be in power? Mm. Who's going to... It's nothing to do with the way Britain runs. The problem with this fucking country is the establishment.
Yes.
Is the establishment.
They're all in it together, aren't they?
And they all give each other...
You know, when they say we're all in it together, what they mean is they're all in it together.
Yeah.
We're fucking not.
They all give each other honours. They put each other on these quangos. Yeah. They give each other these directorships of companies.
Yeah.
And they share it out all among themselves and the rest of us don't get a fucking
look.
But
what do you reckon? Let me ask you a proper question here, because people have asked me this. I reckon it's got nothing to do with the Queen. It's the Queen has
oh, bollocks.
Given
she
a
didn't.
Fucking honour.
The Queen
to
doesn't
Tony Blair,
give out any fucking
but
thing.
But for a long time, we're told, or at least, you know, people that I talk to have told me, that she was the main impediment to giving it to him.
Interesting.
And for a long time, that. So I wonder whether, and somebody today said to me, do you think the fact that Prince Philip was gone has made it possible? Or not.
Yeah, that is a really interesting
theory. I don't know
if
that's true.
I'd like to sort of write a story, you know, for a tabloid paper. Say, last night an insider said, the Queen thinks Tony Blair's a cunt.
Right. But Prince Philip is now gone, so he couldn't stop it happening.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this idea that it's...
Maybe he said, maybe he said, no, 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 over my dead body.
Yeah, you know? She said, fair enough. Right, then.
What about the Green Land Rover?
You know, this idea that the Queen decided on it, bollocks.
Fuck that.
She did think Tony Blair was a cunt. Right. She wouldn't have given him the drippings of her fucking nose.
No.
This is the government.
Right.
This is the government. And,
the government.
Of course, what it really is that David Cameron wants his knighthood and Gordon Brown wants his knighthood.
Yeah.
So there's a traffic jam of these cunts who want fucking knighthood.
Well, I wondered if it might also be some kind of a route to get him into the fucking House of Lords. Because I don't know whether you get knighted and then you get the lordship. I'm not sure it doesn't always work.
They used
to
put prime ministers in the House of Lords, but they don't anymore. They move it as a knighthood. So
because Major is a knight, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
He's not the, in the House of Lords.
If I remember rightly, he's the last prime minister to get a knighthood. Because now we've got Tony Blair, of course, but then it went Blair, Brown, Cameron.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
you probably feel the same way. The whole honour system's got a fucking
shite anyway.
Oh,
it's bollocks. You stick your fucking
absolute rubbish.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm in line for a knighthood, but I just don't want it.
Well, you'll turn it down, obviously.
Yeah, of course I will.
I mean, some people are urging Tone not to accept it. I mean, you might as well ask for the fucking snow to stop.
Well,
my old
man turned down an honour because
he
was a career civil servant.
Right.
He worked for the Immigration Service. And after he'd done about 25 years or 30 years in the civil service, you tend to get... So they said, here's an OBE for you. He said, what the fuck? He said, what's it for?
Right.
Turning up for work. He said, I don't want that.
Really?
So he turned it down.
Oh, that's good.
But to go back to witty Van Tam, Harry's... Remember Jenny Harry's?
Yeah.
She's the one who told us masks don't work. They're ridiculous.
Right.
And then when the government wanted us to wear masks, funnily enough, she changed her fucking mind.
Well, the Spectator did a great piece, last week. Five things that she got massively wrong, including the fucking just before Christmas saying that Omicron was the single biggest threat since the coronavirus epidemic had started, and that we were now in a worse place than we'd ever been.
Yeah.
Well, that turned out to be bollocks.
Apparently, her nickname's Bomber.
Has she got a dog? Anyway, listen, we better not go there.
No, but let's talk about these knighthoods. What are those knighthoods for? I mean, they're grotesquely premature.
Really?
They're grotesquely premature.
I agree.
We haven't had, you know, if after the mother of all public inquiries, which is definitely coming down the tracks, hurtling down the tracks at quite a rate, when they have that, if at the end of that, the public inquiry decides that Chris Whitty, Van Tam, Harris, and by the way, there were quite a few other health officials got honours.
Well, the guy from Wales got
one. Yeah, exactly.
The Welsh bloody health secretary.
That cunt.
Right.
Who's
just recently told people if you've got a cold, you should self-isolate.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
You should
fucking self-isolate.
Everyone in Wales, stay at home and never leave.
Right.
But if that the public inquiry exonerates them, said you did a great job, then you honour them.
Right.
When the COVID crisis is over, you think about honouring them. We're still in the middle of the fucking thing. And these fucking assholes may well have been responsible for some of the most catastrophic mistakes in British history. The lockdowns looked like they were a fucking major, major balls up. We should never have done that. Fucking Whitty said, what was it, only a few weeks ago said, we don't know much about Omicron. We did, actually.
Well,
we knew it was mild.
But he said,
all we do know is it's bad.
Yeah.
But it's not, Whitty, you liar. Fucking liar.
He also killed the fucking hospitality.
What is the matter with that cunt?
No, well, there's a lot about
it's
with him.
It's because he's got such a small head. That's
he's got
what
a tiny head,
and
big eyes.
Bug eyes.
And
no bird.
And he doesn't have any friends.
Can't pull a bird.
And he
lives on his own.
Not getting much.
Not surprised about that, by
not
the way.
Not getting much in the fucking shagging department. So he has to take it all out on the rest. He's fucking the rest
takes
of the country.
Takes it out on the population.
He's fucking the population.
He's fucking us. Doesn't get much sex, but he fucks the entire population on a daily basis.
Yeah, cheers, Whitty. Thanks very much. Absolute bastard.
But you know,
but he also killed the fucking hospitality game just before Christmas by saying, "Ooh, you must prioritise your social engagement."
But you see, but the thing is,
wanker.
The reason so put, there's reasons that these people are all knighted or deemed. It's to give the impression, you know, one or two stupid newspapers said, you know, knighthoods for COVID heroes.
Oh,
in what way are they COVID heroes? Yeah.
How the fuck is that?
COVID heroes.
Bollocks.
Why are they COVID heroes?
Fucking COVID
heroes. I mean, they're getting, you know, they're getting these fucking honours for turning up for work. But what it really is that Boris and the establishment, they want to make it look
Here's
as if their fight against COVID was successful, is a triumph.
Here's a theory for you. How about Boris gives all of those three, not including Blair, a knighthood,
cut the arse.
Right, a knighthood and a damehood in order for them to fuck off and not fucking tell him what to do?
I don't think it's that. I think it's to...
give him too hard of a time.
I mean, it's a good theory, but my theory is to project the image of success, that the people in charge of the fight against COVID have done such a good job, they deserve to be honoured.
Because, you know, I said this, I think, I can't remember who I said it to, I might have even said it to you, I reckon they gave it to them as well, because in foreign parts it looks good. If you're in France or Germany or America, the Americans will lap it up. They'll all go, oh, wow, that's great. Because I heard Fauci being interviewed the other week on another station.
He's a cunt as well.
Really fucking right he is. And he was talking about how he talks to Witty regularly, right? He'll be very impressed that he's now Sir Chris Witty. Oh, Sir Chris, you better come to my house in Washington.
But it depicts the image of success in the fight against COVID. It makes Boris look good.
Right.
And they are grotesquely premature.
Now, as we speak, and as we are about to record this particular podcast, there's a press conference from Boris.
Oh, that's right.
At 5 o'clock. So we'll be doing this before we know what he's going to say. So there's not much point in speculating what he's going to say.
It'd be something about isolation time, wouldn't you
think? Well, because the big fucking story for me this week, right, is the bullshit of people taking time and not working because they can.
Yeah.
And if you're in the public sector and you get a very nice fucking sick package, like the civil service have been told, oh, write yourself a fucking free check until January 25th. Of course you're going to fucking do it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Teachers not going to work. Nurses not going. 24,000 fucking NHS workers out of hospital on Boxing Day because they're isolated.
Yeah, check this out, though. Eh? Right. You said, I think it's 25,000 NHS staff off sick on Boxing Day. How many off sick on New Year's Day? 110,000. How did it go from 25,000 to 110?
Well, they must have all been at parties, then.
Well, it's self-isolation. This crisis, we're making it ourselves now. We're getting healthy people to test themselves to check if they're fucking healthy. Yeah. If you feel all right, you should go to work. Right. Fuck all this testing shit.
Well,
it's
did
got
you hear
to
that
stop.
Story from the guy today who rang me up and the train driver and said, oh, yeah, I had a bit of a cough, so I rang 119 and it's the health line.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And do you know what they told him? They said, right, you better get home. So he fucking goes home. They said, you better take a PCR test. Takes 2 days for him to get the result. He's off work for 2 days. So that's why there's no fucking trains, right? And then, of course, the test was negative.
Yeah.
I said, what did you ring them for? He went, yeah, it wasn't a very good idea.
Yeah.
And I reckon a lot of these cunts will be just going, oh, I've tested positive, I'm not coming in.
Yeah, it's a Skyver's charter at the moment. All you got to do is say, I got COVID, right, don't come in. And people are loving it.
Stay away.
Loving it. And we've got to stop this.
Yeah.
We've got to stop healthy people testing.
Yeah.
Like normal life, if you feel all right, if you feel good, you get up and you go to fucking work.
Exactly.
That's what we've got to get back to.
Yeah.
Not get up and say, hang on a second, I'll just see if I've got two lines.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got two lines.
Yeah,
the fuck off.
I better stay at home. Yeah, because it's not about infecting anybody else.
Or as you suggest, probably more likely, I'll tell you what, I'll give them a ring, tell them I'll fucking test it positive.
Well, because nobody's going to question that.
No.
Nobody's going to go, prove it.
Yeah.
Are they?
So, on Christmas Day, we went to the, I was down in Deal in Kent. And so we went to these friends.
What about the, you got to talk to us about the fucking, the swimmers.
I will do. Was the following day.
Yeah.
I was a bit pissed off with our friends, but you have to go along with this.
There were
10 people going for their Christmas lunch. And we rented a house just up the road. So they sent us a message just before Christmas saying, we are going to ask everyone to test in the morning. Just
oh,
as
God.
It, so,
did you at one point think, oh, fuck that, I'm not doing it?
I did, but then I reluctantly, I did do it. And I passed. But anyway, so I was thinking of going to, well, I did actually go to the, and we all sat down at the table and I said, well, I hope everyone tested this morning. And they went, yes. I said, I certainly did. I was positive, actually. They went, what?
Yeah, there's no COVID sense of humour.
Like, oh, you didn't say that we had to, if we tested positive.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah, but I saw your post about the on Facebook about the tossers going into the...
Well, that was Boxing Day. There's this mass swim, and I told everybody I was going to do it.
Right. That's what I thought you said you might do.
Yeah, but I mean, in the end...
It wasn't even that cold on Boxing
Day. It wasn't cold... Outside of the water,
inside
of the water. So about, I don't know how many, 500 people or something, all rushed into the sea at once at 11 o'clock. and lots of them were having great. Some of them were like on the backstroke, right. Enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
Others sort of went in and they came out like looking traumatized, yeah. Like, right. Oh fuck.
Well, that's it. I mean, I used to watch them in Scotland. They go into the Firth of Forth in Queensferry, which is right under the Forth Bridge,
uh-huh.
And they do that like New Year's Day. And they're all fucking nutters. And they seem to enjoy it. But it's all a bit like the weird kind of Scandinavian beat people with sticks
kind of
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you didn't actually have any kind of people having to be given medical assistance.
Well, there were ambulances on
really?
Hand. But I didn't see anyone.
What a fucking waste. Hang on. So there are ambulances on hand for these wankers.
But it's fucking cold.
Yeah, but what about the fucking people waiting for 9 fucking hours for an ambulance?
Well, funny enough.
Hey?
So.
Because the response times are so bad. Yeah. On ambulances now. So what the fuck are these guys doing?
I guess I didn't really think about that. I wasn't really thinking about it very much. I had a bit of a fucking hangover. I said, right, they're going in the sea. Let's go to the fucking pub.
Get back to the pub, yeah, yeah. Absolutely right. So you had a good Christmas anyway.
Very good. Then came back for New Year with you and Henrietta.
Yeah.
Henrietta said that she had her own private thought police. She got quite a show, didn't she?
Yeah, I was thinking she was quite expecting. Also, there was a bit of an incident. I don't mind. I hope you don't mind if I reveal this, but you cooked a very nice sort of pasta dish.
Yes,
which I assume is vegetarian.
It was a mushroom fungi.
But apparently there was some kind of missing ingredient.
Yeah,
your fucking missus threw it away.
What it was among all the various mushrooms that I got, all different types. You know,
right.
Chanterelle, shiitake.
My favourite.
And all those. So really exotic loads of mushrooms.
Yeah, it was very good.
And
it almost tasted meaty, actually.
Yeah, well, that's it. And one of the ways you make that taste is with dried porcini mushrooms.
Right. Oh, right.
And you put water in,
yes.
Hot boiling water,
yeah.
And you leave them for half an hour.
Yeah.
Take the mushrooms out and they're perfect.
Right.
They've got a great taste. Put that in. So you use the sort of the juice.
Yeah.
It's got a great taste.
Right.
And I put it in a cup.
Right.
And the fucking wife threw it away.
What the fuck did she throw
it
away
thought
for?
It was old coffee.
What the
or
fuck
something.
Is wrong with it?
Silly
but
fucker.
I mean... We're going to get a lot of shit now, you know. Next fucking show we do. Can you imagine in Newcastle? You fucking cunts. You had a fucking mushroom fucking
pasta. Fungi.
Fucking
fungi.
Fucking pussies. Anyway, speaking of that, we can say now, without any fear or favour, Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped.
Yeah,
right?
Happy New Year,
now,
Manscaped.
Because they're in America, they call it, you know, in the Times Square, the ball drops.
Yeah.
I can't remember if they did that this year, because I think they did, but there was talk of them cancelling the fireworks.
Okay.
I don't know whether they did, because
right.
They're having a fucking terrible time in New York.
Right.
You know, it's making me now realise that I'm fucking glad I didn't go.
What's happened to that city?
Oh, it's just gone.
It used to be the greatest city
in the world, even better than London.
Yeah.
But now it's fucked. Anyway, the ball is officially dropped, it says, but that does not mean that you have to drop the ball on your balls. It's time that you bring sexy back to 2022 and step up your game with the Manscaped Performance Package, right? Now, apparently you can get 20% off plus free shipping. Go to manscaped.com, use the code POLICE, okay? And now here's the thing. What we are offering you this particular week, a six-pack is a New Year's resolution. It's a performance package which contains considerable essential tools for the ultimate grooming routine.
Excellent.
Right?
Good
now,
stuff.
Now, some of the people that have listened to us for a while have already got some of these, but you can get the lawnmower, which is an electric trimmer, right? The advanced skin-safe technology. Make sure that you don't cut yourself. But they're also, this time, they're giving you, and we're going to try and get some of this, so I might even give you this stuff,
all right.
Some refined cologne.
All right, that sounds great.
You have a bit of aftershave.
And I like the nose trimmers and all that.
The nose trimmers. I've told them to send us a load more stuff so that we can actually tell people how good it is. So get 20% off plus free shipping with the code POLICE at manscaped.com. You get the crop preservers, all sorts of good stuff.
Yeah.
We'll tell you all about it through the rest of the show. But here's a question for you.
All right.
What happened last night? Because I was shown a little video of you missing the start of your own show. What the fuck happened?
Well, I was talking to Jeremy Kyle, wasn't I? And he was berating me about not inviting him to our New Year's soiree.
Oh, does he want to come to the next one?
I said, well, you can come next time. Always welcome.
Yeah.
We were lost in conversation. Suddenly my producer said, you're on air!
It's easily done.
And then, so I didn't. Luckily, I did have my earphones in, but I didn't have my jacket on or anything. So the show started. My first show of the year
right.
started with my torso coming down with a jacket going on. But it was a great show.
But listen, also, we are some of the few people going back to work, because on Bank Holiday Monday, it was so fucking empty in London. Yeah, it was like a ghost town.
By the way,
I mean, Tuesday's not much different.
I mean, I don't want to get too London-centric, but I treated myself last night, because it was Bank Holiday, to driving in. Because they'd lifted the, congestion charge. So I put it in a car park. That cost me £25. But, you know, a little treat for New Year's Eve to just drive home. Fucking driving through London. Every time you drive through London, Sadiq Cunt has changed the fucking roads. So coming down to the Aldwych, I didn't know where the fuck I was.
The Aldwych now looks ridiculous.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
It used to be.
You can't take a car in Fleet Street.
No. Well, you can.
No.
Yeah.
No. All cars.
Well, not from.
No, this is.
Well, you have to come a different
this
way.
This is as of yesterday.
Oh, right.
As of yesterday. Buses, taxis and motorbikes are allowed in Fleet Street. Same for the fucking Strand. It's a joke.
It really is. But this is the thing. I mean, they've now done all sorts of things. Like Tottenham Court Road is now no longer a one-way street. It's a fucking two-way street, right?
I know. Yeah, that's been a while, yeah.
I mean, that's fucking
it's
madness.
It's a fucking curse. By the way, I think, you know, we're always asking Sadiq Cunt if he'd like to come on to Talk Radio. So if you're listening, Mr. Cunt, please give us a ring. We'd be very happy to have you on.
Funnily enough,
you cunt.
After our rants at New Year, somebody actually sent one of them to at Sajid Javid.
Yeah, yeah.
Just remember, the next time they ask you on Talk Radio, this is what they say, mate. Well, I think Sajid Javid knows that we're not big fans of his.
Yeah.
But, you know, listen, what we do here at Thought Police has no reflection on
nothing
what we
to
do
with
Talk
Radio.
Nothing at all. And here's the proof. Ilona sent us this actually before Christmas, but we didn't record since she sent me this. If you do a second one this week, because we put one out last week, but we recorded it long time before, could you please call me a bitch? And could you get TV Kev to call me a cunt? And can you also call my hubby Chris a cunt? He got me into the Thought Police, and it's basically our spag bowl ritual. And then she goes, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Well, you're
so
a
her
bitch.
Her name's Ilona Jane. Call her a
bitch. Well, Ilona Jane, you're a bitch, and your fucking husband's a right cunt.
Chris, absolute
Chris,
tosser.
What a cunt he is.
Absolutely. And we got
absolute
a happy birthday.
Absolute massive cunt.
And we've also got a happy birthday message to give out to a big fan of ours and a good friend, Helen. Whose birthday is today.
Oh, yeah.
And she's 22, believe it or not. Imagine being 22. Where were you when you were 22?
Fuck knows. Hey? I think I was talking to Queen Victoria or something.
I went to New York when I was about 23. So I think I was... Do you know what? I think I was doing shifts at the Sun, which is when I first met Nick Ferrari and Kelvin McKenzie and that entire crowd. And you probably... I don't know if you were there at that time.
Right.
But it would have been about 1982, 83.
I joined the Sun a little bit after that, I think. Okay. I was on the People at that point, I think.
Yeah. I mean, fucking hell. Those were the days when Fleet Street, you could walk out into any bar at any point and run into somebody that you knew. And not only that, but you could probably get a fucking shift somewhere. I'll never forget the first time I did a shift at the Sun. And somebody said to me... have you done your expenses yet? And I went, well, I haven't really been anywhere. And they went, well, here. Go and get this form, right? And they said, well, what stories did you do? And I said, well, I did the Curse of Tutankhamun. You know, there's a travelling fucking theatre show, which is doing Tutankhamun. And shit keeps happening. You know, somebody's fallen off the stage, broken their legs. Last night, the lighting fell on somebody and he's in hospital. And they said, right, taxi to a British Museum. You know, £5 or £10 or whatever it was in those days. Taxi back £10. Lunch with curator of British Museum.
£15.
Anyway, we were only getting, I think, £45 for
the shift. Yeah, no, shit. When I was doing shifts at the Sun, £35 a night. Yeah. It was 60 at the Mirror.
Yeah, it was 45 at the Sun, but it was only about a five-hour shift. And they'd send you off to the pub at 9 o'clock and say, fuck off until we call you back. And sometimes they never called you back.
Fucking
it was unbelievable. And then they handed me this fucking chit. Took it downstairs. They just gave me cash.
Yeah, I know. And you could put Mickey Mouse on the chit as well. And we used to go to the top of the tip, Tipperary in Fleet Street.
Yeah, I remember the tip.
And so I was a reporter, local paper reporter on the Sutton Herald. I was chief reporter there actually. Mm. So I used to finish the Sutton Herald about 6 o'clock, 5:30. Get in my car, charge up to Fleet Street.
Yeah.
Start my shift 6:30 at the Sun. And invariably, if there was nothing going on, the night news editor would come up and say, can you knock this into shape? Can you do that? But quite often, he'd come up and say, not much going on. But Bob and Barry are in the pub in the tip. Go and see, I'll give you a ring if
Barry
I need.
Matey.
Yeah, Barry Matey, always a bad news.
He was a funny guy. He was the guy, when I went up with my first expenses, and very gingerly, because you were terrified of the news desk, right? because I was literally, I'd only been there one fucking day. And I went up and I very gingerly put it in the basket in front of him, and he, his head was down. And as I turned around to walk away, he went, "Oi!" And I turned around, I was like, "Yeah?" He went, "You learn fast." Yeah, signed it, gave it to me.
He died recently.
Did he?
Yeah, very sad. But, so I used to go, so I was, you know, I was sort of young and fresh-faced a long time ago, obviously.
Yeah, very long
mid-20s, about 25.
There's nothing fresh about you
25,
now.
25, fucking yeah, fucking A's. It's all clapped out. we're top of the tip, Tipperary. So you go in there and, you know, we did do like 3 hours solid drinking. I wasn't really used to drinking like that. And suddenly a call to go back. And I could barely fucking stand up. And I used to have to go to the Bouverie Street, terrible canteen at the Bouverie Street Sun.
Right.
And just like eat like
loads of chips
to try to...
Pies.
Yeah, very...
Pie and chips.
Really healthy way of living,
I mean, that was it, though. But you would just stagger around. I mean, people would literally go from one job to another and not actually do any work.
Yeah, I know.
And it was fascinating. I loved it.
Yeah, but the Sun's rate, it was good to work at the Sun, but they didn't pay much, or they paid relatively bad money compared. The Mirror, 60 quid.
Yeah.
Remember the Bank in the Sky?
I do remember.
Yeah, the Bank in the Sky at the Mirror, right?
Well, the Sunday Mirror was even better, wasn't it?
Well, it was 60 quid for the Sunday papers on a Saturday, and I think it was about 50 for the day rates on the daily. But when I was on the staff at the People... you just have to get a chit, right? It was just like this sort of bit of paper, there's these pads,
right?
And if you ever needed any money, which was quite a lot because you were going down the pub, this is kind of before the days of mass credit cards, you needed cash in your pocket,
right?
You would you just go up and find any executive, be the picture editor or the deputy news editor, anyone. Say, "Hey, Jim, can you say, they just put this." So you put 200
and then
quid.
You go down to
you put 200 quid. You go up to the 10th floor, the Bank in the Sky, and they'd give you 200 quid. And that was set against future expenses.
Yeah.
And so
when
after,
I was first at
quite
the,
after 10 weeks, they go, "You're fucking 10,000 in the red. You do your fucking expenses."
And then you'd have to take a
you
whole
never
day.
Went to the bank.
No.
You never went to your own bank.
But you'd have to spend like an entire fucking day going, "Fucking, have you got a fucking receipt?" Because, I mean, not that you hadn't spent the money legitimately, obviously, but because you didn't always keep receipts.
And also a way of life.
We used to have...
You used to nick, going into restaurants, as you're leaving restaurants, nicking books of receipts.
I remember going to Dubai, and the one and only time I've ever been there, doing this story about this couple that were caught shagging. They were, you know, married to other people, and one of their fucking spouses reported them to the authorities, and they both got fucking arrested and put in jail. Both British, right? And I got out there one time and we all jumped in a cab to go somewhere. And I sat down on the front seat because they all rested, went in the van. I felt something that was sitting on it and I sort of pulled it out. It was a fucking book of Arabic fucking receipts. And I thought, well, I'm fucking having that. It was like literally that thick. Taxi receipts in Arabic. And like no fucker is going to be able to understand any of these.
God, your taxi receipt. But I used to have a drawer at work just full of these books of receipts.
Well,
I'm pretty sure when
I first joined the Express in '92 as a reporter, I think we had a petty cash tin on the fucking news desk, and which had hundreds of pounds in it, you know. And sometimes people would just take it to the pub.
Yeah. Well, that was the system at the Mirror. The Bank in the Sky was... Well, there was a bloke there. He got fired. I better not name his name just in case.
No.
But he got fired after 25 years because he invented another member of staff.
Oh, yeah.
And he used to claim expenses.
Well, there was a guy...
For himself and his
guy,
invented member of staff.
Well, there was a guy at the Sun, wasn't there, who ended up being asked to leave because he'd created an entire fucking... network of agencies that didn't
no
exist.
No, and that was the bloke at the Mirror. That was what was his
no,
name?
No, there was a guy at the
Mirror. Then he went to the Star. He went to prison.
Yeah,
because he invented an agency that was his own, and he used to
and
get
kept
paid.
Payments,
he was features editor.
No, but there was a bit of it at the Sun as
and
well.
And then he went to prison. And this is Fleet Street for him. When he came out, he became features editor of the Daily Star. Your CV looks all right. I'm not too keen on this spell in jail you've just spent.
You
but, you know, here's a 50 grand a year job.
Can you try not to actually pay yourself?
It was fucking funny then, Fleet Street.
It really was. I mean, but people now would be horrified, wouldn't they?
You know, that I told you that story about... You remember Nigel Blundell?
Mm.
Fucking great guy. Real drinker. So at the Express Group, you may not have been there yet, but... he was features editor of the Daily Star, and they had and they The Express Group decided they were going to create a healthy new brand of Fleet Street journalists.
Right.
So they brought in these doctors to screen everyone and say, you know, what kind of lifestyle, you mustn't drink so much. So they were interviewing them all. So there's a doctor sitting there. So Blundell gets called in and this doctor goes, okay, Nigel, you know, you're a Fleet Street journalist. You know, I know you lot drink a lot. Mm. Tell me the kind of amount that you sort of drink in a day.
Right.
So he goes, I don't know. I mean, he goes, I don't know. On a bad day, probably a couple of large gin and tonics, maybe a bottle of wine, maybe a little bit more than that. You know, bottle of wine, bottle and a half of wine. And the doctor goes, Christ, Nigel, you're killing yourself. Right. And he goes, oh, wait a minute, I've only got to lunchtime.
True, though. I mean, we'd go out for lunch and have two or three bottles of wine.
Yeah.
Me and a couple, just between maybe two or three of us. And then we'd be back in the bar again at sort of 7:30 and drinking until about midnight. I mean, it's no wonder marriages didn't last.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not sure I've even liked it that much, but it was a lifestyle.
But it was a lifestyle.
You just had to drink. Mm. Everyone drank.
Everyone drank.
And at the Mirror, when I was doing shifts there, they used to have this thing called Conference Quickie.
Oh, yeah.
And so at 11 a.m., all the executives would go into the editor's office for conference.
Right.
And all the reporters would zoom down to the stab in the back, the King's Head, which is our local pub.
Now gone, I think.
It's gone. It's a Pizza Express now.
I went, because a few years ago, I drove up that street, up around the back
New
of...
New Fetter Lane.
New Fetter Lane. And I was like, shit, I'm sure the stab used to be there. And it's a new building.
Yeah, no, it's
like, built, there's a new building.
Yeah, with a Pizza Express in. And, of course, the Mirror building is now Sainsbury's headquarters. Anyway, so we go down to the Stab in the Back, as it was its nickname. And we sort of get a couple of vodkas in or a beer before, and then nip back up at 25 past 11 before the executives came out of conference. And every single day, there'd be, say, 10, 12 of us down there. And at least two reporters say, oh, fuck it, I'm not going back. And they would just stay there. And with a bit of luck, they'd be there all day. So you go back down there at lunch and they'd be pissed.
Right.
And then you go down there again at 6 o'clock and they'd be fucking hanging off the bar.
Right.
Every day, there were at least two people. Right. And there was vagabonds
around
the back.
And then you would end up in vagabonds.
Vagabonds
like
around
the
back, yeah.
Jesus Christ
hell.
Almighty. Well, anyway, listen, we've reached the end nearly. I don't know what this fucking rest of this week is going to bring. We're waiting for this Boris press conference. We've got Prime Minister's questions. I'm hoping to fucking Christ that he's not going to do anything stupid. I don't think he can. I think he now knows that the game is up.
If
he wants to be popular, don't fucking do anything.
Exactly. He loves to be popular. Two things have dawned on him, one hopes, and they must have done. Don't listen to Sage. They're fucking liars. They get everything wrong. And he stood up to them at last, egged on by his impressive rebel backbenchers who said, you fucking do this and you're finished. So he was forced into it, but he did stand up to Sage and he continues to stay strong, I hope.
Yes.
And he's also worked out, hey, this is making me popular.
Yeah, well, he's come back up in the polls. You know, by next week he'll be running be running rings around old Keir Starmer again.
Well, before we sign off as well, Mike, may I wish you security, prosperity and respect.
Yes.
That's what Keir Starmer.
Yes.
His keynote speech.
That's
what we need. That's
what
we need.
It's his vision for Britain.
It's what we need at this difficult time
what
for the nation.
Arsehole.
A pile of pathetic political platitudes. Yeah. Fuck off, Starmer, you idiot.
Starmer chameleon, I think.
My contract with Britain.
Yeah.
Starmer, you're not getting into power in a month of fucking Sundays.
Here you go, Sir Keir. Contract rescinded.
Yeah,
fuck
contract.
Off.
Stick your contract up your fucking Labour arse.
Fuck off. Bring Corbyn back. That's what I say.
At least he was funny.
Yeah, fucking hell. Anyway, fuck off the rest of you. Enjoy the first part of the new year because it might get worse. You never fucking know. We'll be back next
fucking
week.
Fucking happy new year, you fucking cunts.
Yeah, with more tales of the unexpected. We are the Thought Police. See you soon.
Fucking driving through London. Every time you drive through London, Sadiq Cunt has changed the fucking
Tell
roads.
Me about it.
Witty, Van Tam, Harris and
Blair
all got knighthood.
We were driven into an immediate
drunken fury.
It is ridiculous, though, isn't it? I mean, how the hell do you justify any of those?
I'll tell you, it's a fucking disgrace.
It is.
You know, you want to know the problem with Britain? You know, people say, oh, are the Tories going to be in power? Will Labour be in power? Mm. Who's going to... It's nothing to do with the way Britain rings. But Britain runs. The problem with this fucking country is the establishment.
Yes.
Jenny Harris.
Yep.
She's the one who told us masks don't work, they're ridiculous.
Right.
Then when the government wanted us to wear masks, funnily enough, she changed her fucking mind. Sadiq Cunt.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.